This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. Soldiers in West Virginia's Reserve 363rd Military Police Company came home last month from Afghanistan and Kosovo. Their deployment is part of a history that stretches back to when Congress created the Medical Reserve Corps on April 3rd, 1908. Saturday was their 108th birthday. Chip Hitchcock interviewed the Reserve's unit commanding officer last year and brings us this report.
Major General Philip Chern commands 13,000 reservists in 37 states, including West Virginia, all of them military police. But 7 years ago, he was in Afghanistan, leading the Afghan Detention and Corrections Advisory Team.
So I was helping the Afghan generals, their staff, and their soldiers in the correct procedures for maintaining custody, care and custody of detainees after they had been sentenced in courts and they were serving their sentences.
The Afghans are mostly fighting alone this spring, with some help from special forces. The U.S. also supports Afghan troops with rarely reported airstrikes. But the main purpose of the U.S.'s 10,000 soldiers is to provide instruction and assistance at the highest levels of command, particularly in air and medical support, logistics, and the rule of law.
We have our perceived ways of doing things, but it's not the way that the Afghans are doing things. And so at times, and I found this with myself and even with my teams that I led in Afghanistan, we can provide the training, we can provide the mentoring, but at the end, we have to allow them to take what they have learned from us and to apply to how they're going to do things.
The U.S. Army Reserve is 108 years old, having been founded in April 1908 to supply the Army with badly needed doctors. In World War I, there were four times as many reserve doctors as regular Army doctors. Today, the active component consists of soldiers who serve full-time. The reserve component is the part-time, 1 weekend a month, citizen soldiers of the National Guard and Reserve that have armories and centers in every state. The National Guard can be activated by their state's governor or the president, but the reserve can only be called up by the president. The Army Reserve is a way to supply soldiers trained in support positions to the regular Army when they're needed.
We represent most of the majority of the medical, logistical, transportation, engineering, civil affairs, legal, and chemical capabilities are in the Army Reserve. So those combat service support skills are essential to any contingency operations that we encounter and we take part in. So the active component utilizes our skill sets in the Army Reserve to help them accomplish their mission.
The Reserve brings their civilian skills into the Army. Doctors are doctors, and lawyers are lawyers, but there's lots of other appropriate skills that help in the military. Chern is, of course, most interested in how civilian skills help his military police.
So what we are learning on a day-to-day basis, and then what we have learned with our military skills, that helps us to make us more rounded, especially when we go into some of these operations in which we're dealing and working with the local inhabitants and helping them to rebuild their local communities.
Chern says it's a challenge recognizing the skills of individual soldiers and then incorporating it into their service.
I had a soldier, she was a specialist, and she is in college to be a forensic psychologist. But I asked her, so what do they have you doing here? And she says, well, sir, you know, and she kind of hesitated and was very reluctant. I says, come on, tell me, what do they have you doing? She says, sir, they really don't utilize me. I says, man, what a loss. Hey, how do we utilize her talents better? How do we make her more involved? How do we make her a stake owner in the process? I came back to visit her a couple of months later, and, you know, I see this beaming sergeant now. She was promoted to sergeant. And, man, she's engaged. She's doing a lot of different reports for the unit.
There are basically 500,000 active duty soldiers, 250,000 National Guard, and 200,000 reservists. 1,500 reservists are from West Virginia. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chip Hitchcock.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:49. Your forecast for today, mostly sunny with highs in the 70s to mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight with a slight chance of rain, lows in the 50s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. also by WVU Medicine Children's Clinics and Hospital, serving the healthcare needs of all West Virginia's children, online at wvukids.com.
West Virginians serve in the military at a higher rate than any other state in the country based on population. While the statistic shows a proud history of service, more and more of those men and women are also returning to their home state in desperate need of services to deal with mental health or mobility issues. At a federal prison in Morgantown, inmates are working to train service dogs for West Virginia veterans in need of assistance. As Carol Lofton reports, those inmate dog trainers are also veterans themselves, looking to give back to their fellow soldiers.
Bailey. Tug.
Jeff Marrero is working with his service dog, Bailey, on how to close doors. The golden retriever walks over to the door, tugs a thick rope wrapped around the doorknob, and pulls it closed.
Yes, good girl.
Marrero is an inmate at the Federal Correctional Institute in Morgantown, serving a 9-year sentence for a nonviolent drug charge. Marrero has spent 2.5 years as part of the Veterans to Veterans Dog Program and is the only inmate currently enrolled in the Department of Labor's Canine Animal Trainer Apprenticeship Program. The service dog he trains while incarcerated will be matched with veterans on the outside.
After being incarcerated, you feel like everybody looks at you like you do something wrong, and they discriminate against you. So this is a way for us to give back to society.
The program is an outreach initiative of the Morgantown-based service dog training program Hearts of Gold and West Virginia University. Dogs in the program are trained by inmates, then issued free of charge to veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder or mobility issues. Veterans like Rachel Gregory.
Hey, Missy. Count.
Outside of Best Buy in Morgantown, Rachel Gregory's service dog Missy is counting. Missy was also trained at FCI Morgantown, both in the skills she needs as a service dog and the tricks she was showing off in the parking lot. Gregory did not serve overseas, but suffers from PTSD due to a military-related sexual assault she was the victim of here at home. Missy helps her cope with the trauma, following her to work at Best Buy.
Some of the things she'll do, like we're working on a cover me command right now, where eventually once I find somebody to pair up with me and train, she'll notify me from a certain amount of distance behind me that somebody's coming up behind me so I don't freak out. I can show you that.
Missy, cover me. Yes. Hedge. Thank you.
And that's how she would notify me.
Missy is also trained to lick her hand or lean against her legs when the dog senses Gregory getting stressed or anxious. Gregory says Missy's presence and support helps prevent the panic attacks she used to experience and allows her to maintain a normal, healthy work schedule and social life. When a trigger occurs,
I just focus in on her and I know that I'm okay.
Marrero was one of the inmates that helped train Gregory's dog, Missy. Back at the prison, Marrero is putting Bailey, who happens to be the litter mate of Missy, through her training paces. Marrero explains that the name, Bailey, comes from the word bilingual. Marrero is teaching her commands in both Spanish and English, so that if needed, she could go to a veteran for whom English is a second language.
She can do some commands in Spanish too. Like, for example, speak, she will do in Spanish. Habla. Habla. Yes, good girl. Abajo. Yes.
At FCI Morgantown, there are now 19 veteran inmates in the program. 10 dogs have completed training at the prison and have been placed with veterans in the community. 12 more are currently in training, although a Hearts of Gold spokeswoman said not all of those will successfully achieve the rigorous designation of service dog. Some will instead become emotional support dogs, therapy dogs, or pets. While the program benefits are clear for veterans who receive dogs on the outside, veteran inmate Michael Grabowski says he's benefited from the program too. Training dogs has helped Grabowski deal with the stress and anxiety of incarceration.
The first time I took a dog out, I took it out back to the playpen and I just threw the ball and just like all kinds of emotions released. And then, you know, it was just from there on to learning to work with the dogs, learning how to their behaviors, teaching them, it's a beautiful thing. And after being in jail a long time like that and being able to have the opportunity to do this, it was just, it opened me up again to feel again, just a complete shell, and it brought me out.
Marrero agrees.
It's a win-win situation. I like the concept of veterans for veterans, because when we were in our forces, we always like got each other's back. So because we are incarcerated now, we cannot do that in any other way, but this is a way to maintain that like promise what we do when we're in the service.
Veterans to Veterans is not just providing inmates with emotional rehabilitation, but is also teaching them a marketable skill that they can use upon their release. All inmate veterans participating in the program will have the opportunity to become certified service dog trainers, and both Grabowski and Marrero say they plan to continue their work once released. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation.
Filmmaker Michael Moore made a surprise visit to West Virginia this weekend for a screening at an international film festival. Moore was in the Kanawha Valley on Saturday and Sunday and spoke to crowds at the West Virginia International Film Festival, which was showing his latest film, Where to Invade Next, at the LaBelle Theater in South Charleston. Dave Mistich has more.
Moore's visit happened mostly by chance, as he was scheduled to be out of the country for his 62nd birthday to appear at the screening of the film in Italy. However, his trip was canceled last minute.
We're going to make this like a big birthday trip to Rome. And we said, well, let's go someplace else. We're already here. Like, what would be the equivalent of Rome? And I said, how about a city like built on a lot of hills?
Moore, a native of Flint, Michigan, also fielded a few questions from the audience after Sunday's screening. When asked how the public should respond to water contaminations like the ongoing situation in Flint and the January 2014 chemical spill in Charleston, Moore called for mass, nonviolent civil disobedience. At Sunday's screening, Moore was presented with a variety of birthday gifts, including a cake and pepperoni rolls. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Charleston.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news on our website at wvpublic.org. Our bureaus are supported by West Virginia University, Marshall University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Ashton Mara.